Thanks for listening to Outcast World. You lock your front door, don't you? You wouldn't go out and leave the front door open. Well, that's essentially what you're doing when you're not using a VPN. Right now, your data is being tracked, stored, and sold by loads of people. For a lot of people that are listening to this show, that is not just annoying, it can also be very risky. NordVPN fixes it. It's fast, it's reliable, it's number one for consumers, and it takes less time to set up than ordering a takeaway. Outcast World listeners can get NordVPN for under £3 a month. That is up to 75% off. Just go to outcastworld.net. The link's at the top. Turn it on. Forget about it. Make yourself safer online with the number one NordVPN for under £3 a month at outcastworld.net. Joining the chat today, I have got Jordan Burrows, one of the breakout stars of I Kissed a Boy on BBC Three, a personal friend of Danny Minogue. Can we say that? We'll say that. Here's my chat with him.
Thanks for having me.
Hottest day of the year. How are you dealing with it?
Yeah, it's quite warm, isn't it?
It's warm.
We've got the fan on our resi.
You are personal trainer at the moment, former semi-pro footballer and one of the breakout stars from I Kissed a Boy. How's life been since the show aired? And are you still getting recognised in the protein aisle at Tesco?
Yeah, literally. It is a bit mental. Getting recognised is still a new concept to me. It's just weird places as well. Like you said, like in Tesco, like it's like so random. And it's just one of those experiences I don't think I'll ever get used to. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get you. How did you end up on the show? What sequence of events was it? Did you apply or what happened?
So I actually got a message for series one. And then I was like, oh, I'm not going on a show that I've never really heard of. And then they came back for series two. So then you still fill out an application. You still go throughout the whole sort of like process. But yeah, and then you just go to London. And then, yeah, I was just not really thinking anything of it. I'm very much like everything happens for a reason. And even until like mid-August, we flew into September. I was like, I'm not going on this show. Like, it's just not going to happen. And then suddenly I was on a flight and it was on that flight where you're like, oh, shit.
Oh, God. It's happening.
What are you doing?
What, they came to you for the first series and what was it about it that you thought, no? Did you just think, I don't know what this is, so I don't know what want to get involved at the moment or what?
Yeah, it's just one of those things where it's like, obviously, you don't know the concept. You sort of can be told the concept, but being told this idea of a new show and what that show might actually look like when it's on TV. I think you need to see it before you sign yourself up to something, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I was meant to be on a show the other year and they told me a completely different setup to what it was when it went out. Afterwards, I was like, oh, I'm really glad I didn't do that. But with you, it's different. It's the BBC is different like that, isn't it? That I guess they're not going to shaft you.
Well,
you don't know. We pay for them.
It is one of those, like, it is a... I couldn't have gone on the first one. I just know.
No, I get that.
Myself.
So why did you want to go on I Kissed a Boy in the first place? Was it about love? Was it about visibility or something else?
I think I hadn't really thought about my reasons why before I went on. Do you know what I mean? I was just like, oh, that'll be like a fun experience. I was just like, I'll just have a good time. I'll just have a good summer. Like, what can really go too wrong when there's like 15 days in a masseria? Like, I'll have a great tour. So I guess it was kind of love. And then... But it wasn't until like it came out, obviously we have a period of like 8 months until it airs. So you really think about like, well, what am I actually going to do with this? Like, what could I do to benefit the community, like the gay community and stuff? And that's when I've sort of like done the sports thing. I've done a bit about men's mental health since I've been out. And like, that's sort of, I feel like the before is that I didn't really think about what I was going to do with it. And then it was like the aftermath where I was stuck with my thoughts for 8 months on this secret, like, well, what will this look like kind of thing.
Did you tell anyone? Because I imagine there's a lot of anxiety in that kind of 8 months where you film something, you don't know how they're going to edit it, do you? I mean, again, you've got to trust them a bit, haven't you? But like, yeah. Was there a bit of anxiety in that 8 months?
Yeah, especially because I was quite messy at the start. So the first like 3 episodes, I was like, I'm probably going to be made out to be like a bit of a villain or like a bit of a boy. And then I was like, I'm not sure how that's going to be taken. But then you just got to back yourself in these situations and be like, as long as you go in there being yourself, you couldn't do anything different anyway because you're just being you. Where I think it gets a bit tricky if you're going in there trying to be something that you're not, then you would have more anxiety. Whereas I was just sort of like, I was me my whole time. So if people don't like me for me, then that's on them, not me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. You and Callum, you made it all the way to the final kiss-off. what is it that clicked between you, do you think?
I think in there we just had really good communication.
Yeah.
But we just had like well, we didn't have an initial attraction, but then that sort of grew. And then we just, like, my vulnerability came down faster. But I think because of the environment we were in, like, it's very intense. Obviously, you're basically living together. So I was just, like, I was like, oh, I've not really felt like this for a long time, like, since, like, previous boyfriends. So then, yeah, I think it was just, I guess it was kind of the experience, because obviously then when we've come out, it's very different, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Looking back, what surprised you most about the experience of dating on camera? Because, I mean, that's different, isn't it?
Yeah, I feel like it's almost not real, but like it is real, but like it's an unreal scenario. Like, you'd never do that in your normal life. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're never going to be put in a situation, in a monitored situation, given challenges that are meant to test you, that aren't real challenges. Do you know what I mean? That aren't actually real challenges.
It's confected, isn't it? It's all made up, really. Yeah, yeah.
It's like, so then, like, because you've never been through that, you don't know how you're going to feel about that in it. So, like, for me, I was obviously quite lucky that, like, I found Callum and, like, I was okay, and, like, it turned out to be a positive thing. But, like, it is a weird, especially when you first go in, like, you just literally, like, what is going on? It does take you, like, 3 days to adjust to, like, camera production and all that jazz. But you just suddenly slot into it, and it just becomes, like, your new normal for the month that you're in Italy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. What was it like having Danny Minogue as your fairy godmother then?
Oh, we love Danny Minogue.
Yeah. I love her more than Kylie. We used to have this argument all the time. If it's Danny or Kylie, like, Danny, and it always has been.
Yeah, well, for me, it used to be Kylie, but now...
it's Danny.
It's now Danny. She is actually, like, everything that everyone says and more, like, which she's just, like, she messages us now, she replies to our posts. Like, if we messaged her with a problem, she would reply, and we know she would. Like, obviously, at the reunion, when things went a bit south for me and Callum, she's one of the first people to come over, to both of us, to be fair, like, separately, and be like, are you okay? Do you know what I mean? Like, even though it's TV, it is your feelings. She's very real. I think she's the perfect person for that show. Like, I don't think anyone else would do it justice, because she does just care so much about why we need the TV show rather than TV show.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's an important TV show, isn't it? I know it's entertainment, but, like, when you think about it, what it's doing, you know, the visibility it's given and stuff like that. And I love that she's there afterwards, giving a bit of aftercare.
Yeah.
Like, I love that. I seen you went on Danny Beard's podcast, The Gossip Gaze, and I don't always listen to it, but I did see the post where Danny got involved on the post.
Yeah, yeah, that's
afterwards,
what I mean.
And I thought, I like that.
Yeah, so she then commented, and then they clipped that to put it in, and, like, it's just one of those, like, that's what I mean. She's very invested in you like a friend rather than just anything else. And she is even, like, so, like, we did Mighty Hoopla, and then she was introducing Jade, and it was all surprise. We were all on stage. But then, like, the hour before that, she was with us, she was chatting to us. So, I mean, afterwards, she was checking we were okay. I mean, like, she's just one of us. Like, it's like, we're all one big, like, cast and crew, but then she's just part of it. It's not, do you know what I mean? She's not just paid loads of money to do it. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I like that. I like that because I like her. And you've just kind of...
Minus, I mean.
Yeah, you just really confirmed that she's lovely.
Yeah.
You've just done a campaign for Men's Mental Health Week. Tell us what that was about.
But it was all a bit, like, mad, to be honest. So I drove past the first billboard in Manchester, and it was, like, this text message about this guy who'd lost his dad. And I was just like, oh, that's really sad. And it was really got to me. I was like, oh, that. But, like, what a beautiful campaign that is. I was like, I drove past and it's, like, resonated with me. So then, like, imagine how many, and I imagine people, how many people drive past that billboard in Manchester. I was like, that's mental. So I just followed the guy who organised it on Instagram. I'd done a post about my dad, because obviously my dad had been on the show. We'd had quite an emotional, like, my dad's a farmer, do you know what I mean? He very much does not fly to Italy and be on TV. So then, like, we'd had this whole thing, and, like, the people love my dad more than me, to be honest, like, the audience of the show. And then the guy who organised it saw it on my story, and then I messaged, and we were just, like, messaging about it. And I was explaining, like, why I think it's important that LGBT parents, like, it's, like, positive stories rather than the negative, because you always say the negative. And he was like, no, like, we need to talk about this. Like, I think we need to, why don't you write a message as if you were writing it in, and then we'll see what it looks like. And then we did it, and then Attitude picked it up, and then it became this massive, like, thing. And, like, it blew up more than I was ever sort of expecting. But like the concept of why, one, men's mental health, like my dad struggled with mental health before and in the past, so I really wanted to do it for him for that. I really wanted to tell him I was proud of him, but I also wanted to show like an LGBT parent who was proud of their son. Do you know what I mean? And it wasn't, it's like to come out wasn't always negative. Like sometimes parents really surprise you. So yeah, we did this whole and it was just blown up more than I ever thought, but it's obviously such a good thing to come from. It's just another layer of what I wanted to do outside the show. And then if I can do more for men's mental health in the future, then I definitely will.
Yeah, it's always been, I think men's mental health is something that's like, I know we talk about it a lot, but it's still not talked about enough, is it?
No, yeah.
And if it's impacted you and people in your family, then yeah, I get why you'd want to do that. Do you think it's important? How do you think we can get more men, especially like younger gay men, to open up? Now, people might think that by nature of the way we are as queer people, we're more likely to open up. And maybe we are a bit. But there's a lot of people still hold a lot of stuff inside, isn't there, that they're just not communicating. There's a lot of people put a front on, don't they, a way of acting in the queer community where it's kind of like, I'm fine, everything's all jokes, but under that there's an underlying sadness. Not saying with everyone, just with some people.
Yeah.
How do you think we can get people to open up?
I think it's one of those things. I feel like you come out and then I felt a lot happier, do you know what I mean, in yourself, but then you suddenly thrown into this community that you've never experienced. So then it's like a whole thing where it's like, well, where do I then fit within the gay community? Because obviously there's so many aspects of the gay community. And it's like, I think then there's like a second thing where we need to talk and to help people find themselves within the community. Because it's technically like you're a child again. Like when you're growing up, you're finding yourself, you're learning new things about yourself. And it's literally going through that all again, but you're an adult. And like, who do you turn to and speak to about that? So I think, like I spoke about like sports clubs and stuff being quite a big part of, like, for example, if I'd seen a gay footballer growing up, that would have helped me because I was like, I used to watch football, I was into football, but then I was like, well, if you're gay, like, clearly you can't be good at it, do you know what I mean? Like, there was all these kind of thoughts going through my head. And I think it's very important for, like, visibility representation that if people can see themselves in someone who happens to be gay, that it kind of feels like they feel seen and they feel okay, even if there's no one to speak to about it. If you can see someone, it kind of gives you a bit of light at the end of the tunnel. So I think it's just important to, when you have a platform, I guess, or when, like, so for example, us from the show, we're all doing our best to, like, put ourselves out there, tell our stories so that anyone who resonates with our story, they feel a little bit more seen. But I think if, just on a, like, smaller scale, just checking in with your friends and asking if they're okay, like, you might not know what they're going through, but if you just ask, are you okay? What they don't have to be like gay or even thinking about coming out, but just checking that someone's okay might then open up a conversation. At least then they've got an avenue that you do sort of care, and that you might, even if they're not comfortable to speak right now, in the future, if you've asked if they're okay constantly, they'll come to you and be like, oh, actually, this is what was going on. I think it's just encouraging conversations, even though it could be hard. And also just like little things like, so my friends would never, when I was growing up, and it's not nothing to do with them, we're from a small community, but like, would never have shown anything like, even it's like a post on your Instagram story these days, for example, that to show you support Pride, or like, do you know what I mean? Like even a little pin badge or like a little flag somewhere, like little gestures can mean a lot to people that you don't even realize. So just like little things like that. If you are, you have a concern about one of your friends that you think, oh, they could be gay, or they're struggling with something, a little post on your Instagram story would go a long way on your Instagram story to show that you care.
Yeah, yeah. Your coming out story sounds like it was quite positive.
Yeah, I'd say it was positive. Looking back at the time, it should feel it. Do you know what I mean? At the
why
time,
didn't it feel it? Why didn't it feel it?
Because I was from, like, obviously, really, like, I was literally the only gay in the village. Like,
Cumbria.
Tiny, tiny village in Cumbria, farming community. So, like, it was just not seen. So then, like, I felt like I was taking on, like, the world, do you know what I mean? Like, I was like, I'm going to come out. And then I feel like I had, like, this pressure to, like, kind of not be myself in terms of, like, not be... You're going to come out as gay, but then you're not going to be your true self because you're going to still kind of mask it, so you still kind of fit in. So people don't have perception that all gays are a certain way. Do you know what I mean? So I feel like it now. I now look at it as a positive experience, and my dad was great. Like, all my family were great with it. I think it did take a long time for me to process the whole thing. Do you know what I mean? And like, it was, I couldn't thank in the same breath like my dad enough for just be like, he was just there, even though like it's like what I just said before about like small conversations or smaller, he would just say little things that I'd be like, oh no, he's okay. Like, we wouldn't have massive conversations about being gay, do you know what I mean? But he would just say little things that would make me feel like reassured.
Did your dad do massive conversations? Because mine doesn't, unless it's very rare. A lot of men don't, do they? They'll do little bits, but they don't want to get into the big dads I'm talking about here. Dads.
Yeah, that dad does not do big conversations. No. He doesn't. He's very much like, we don't. Little things, you know what I mean?
We'll have
little bits of it, but we don't do big conversations at all. Or like if we do, like we might have had a drink and then have that again.
It's a classic dad scenario, that, and it sounds very much like my dad. My dad's very supportive, but you'll struggle to get him to have the deep conversation. You can see he's like that.
Yeah,
he doesn't want to, but still supportive. I love it when I hear about dads being supportive. I think it's a bit that it's the missing bit, isn't it? It's also the bit that I think you don't hear a lot of in the narrative around conversations between queer people, queer men, and their parents. You always think about the mum. It's always the mum in it, but I think support from like your dad, and I think it gives you a good template to work, like for all men, it gives you a good template to work on around your masculine identity, doesn't it? And just because you're a gay man doesn't mean you don't have a masculine identity. I mean, you clearly do, you know?
Yeah, that's what I mean, and I think I've said multiple times about that, and that's why the sports element, I think, is quite important, because it's dads, brothers, uncles who watch these sports. So like, to help them understand it, there needs to be like visibility and representation within these sports, because then just seeing it makes it more understood, and like knowledge is sort of power. So there's definitely still work to do in that area. Like we're a long way off. Like you said, like dads compared to mums, we are a long way off, I think.
Yeah, and it's overlooked, I think it's overlooked. And just show me a gay man, show me his dad, show me how they are with each other, and I think you'll work out how settled as a person they are sometimes, not just the parents' relationship. I think the dad is important. You, up in Cumbria, you were near Blackpool. Jake Daniels, he was at Blackpool, wasn't he, when he came out?
Yeah.
What an interesting, like, that, I know this is an important thing to you. Jake Daniels coming out, for me, it doesn't seem that long ago. What was it, 2020? But it's 5 years ago.
2021, I think it was when he came out. Yeah. So I think, I was saying this to someone the other day, like, I remember thinking at the time, being like, this is so good, because like, this is, you just need one person to come out and then it'll be like a knock-on effect. That hasn't actually happened how I thought it would happen. I thought, like, one person would come out and then it would be like a string of like, oh, well, I can do it. And it hasn't actually worked out like that. And I think that is still quite an interesting concept in itself, that there's clearly still loads of work to do, because one person's done it, and obviously he got stick, but the majority, I would say, was positive. So that, what's the boundary that's stopping other people come out? Do you know what I mean? Because if he's had a positive experience, why can't other people?
It's true. Did you see the one in Australia? I can't remember his name.
Josh Covello.
Him. Yeah, I follow him on Instagram. Yeah, so he did it. But again, like, there hasn't been loads of footballers come out. Now, I've heard, you always hear rumours about certain Premiership footballers. And we did the maths. Was it on this show? It was on a show that I've done. We did the maths about how many men statistically in the English Premier League are probably gay or bisexual or queer under the queer umbrella. And I worked out, what is the 600 players roughly in the Premier League?
Yeah.
This is, I'm remembering the maths that we did, our chat GPT out. Like, right, get it. So we worked out that it must be like 30 to 50 players are gay, bisexual, you know, queer. And we don't hear a thing. I mean, if you were a Premier League footballer, would you come out?
Yeah, I just don't. I don't get, like, I kind of get it in terms of, for Jake to come out when he was so young, but I also think there's that whole breakthrough of the career, isn't there, that they might hinder your career. Whereas I feel like, but if you were like 28, 29, at the end of the day, you're coming towards the end of your life in football, in Premiership football, let's say, like 33, it's like probably your cap, isn't it? Why would you not just do it? Because you're basically at the end. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't. There must be something. There must be a lot of internalized homophobia in sports.
Yeah.
That we don't see.
Well, it's going on in people's heads.
Yeah.
And
I do get it, because obviously I feel like I feel like gay people resonate with that feeling in PE. and how it feels when you don't sort of feel comfortable, and PE in school can be quite challenging for a lot of people. You don't.
Hated it. Yeah.
Yeah. Every gay person that's next to that. Like,
hated it. That was where I got bullied was PE. That was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, every gay man resonates with that PE. So I guess it is just that in adult life. But
yeah.
you would like to think that surely adults are a bit more, do you know what I mean? A bit more grown.
They're just worse, I think, sometimes.
Yeah. There's definitely. Particularly football, I feel like arguably feels like the worst one. Because I feel like rugby's got a few.
I feel like rugby, you wouldn't imagine it would be, would you? But rugby's a lot more... I'd love to know why that is, because there's quite a few gay rugby players.
Yeah.
And as a collective, the rugby lads seem more inclusive like that than your football supporters, and football's everywhere. I've never really got that. Maybe there's more money involved in football or something. I don't really know.
That makes it more of a like risk, I guess.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
But I also can't see it going wrong if someone did come out. Like, I feel like it's the same. I mean, arguably not the same concept, but it's like going on TV, I guess. Like, you could have a negative response and you could be hated.
Yeah.
But then, as long as you are yourself through it, does that really matter? Like, as long as your core friends and family love you.
That's true. But it's really hard to block out. What I read about people saying is that I'm going to give you the example of, who was it? Chapel Rowan, right? Said that the comments, the hateful comments that she gets on social media still make her cry to this day. And Benson Boone was the same the other week. Like, I mean, dealing with it in a man's way, he's fucking beautiful. Benson Boone just getting loads of shit off people just because they want to be horrible to someone. I think the difference between football and telly is maybe in football, you've got tens of thousands of supporters at the side, and the go-to will always be the go-to, whatever thing they can pick on you for. It's like school, isn't it? You go, "He's a fucking bender." And if you've got 10,000 people shouting that at you, I think it's different to maybe if you're on telly where you might get a bit of a, I don't know, you get the odd cunt. You know, that that messages in or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose it is that whole pressure is like, I suppose with us, it's like behind a screen, whereas then it would be very thousands of people could be, there's that whole, and I suppose in a stadium, you feel very small. Do you know what I mean? You would feel very, very small, especially if you were getting hate. But I do get that side of it, but I'm just waiting for one Premiership footballer will come out and I'll salute them. Do you know what I mean? I'll kiss their feet. You like, God.
There seems to be, they're more likely, I think, to, as it stands, to do the opposite thing, which is go and take the money and play in Saudi Arabia, which is what some like hero Liverpool players have done, isn't it? Like Jordan Henderson took the money and run to Saudi Arabia. And I was like, why have you done that? You were an arm... rainbow fucking armbands last thing. I don't think he's a bad person. I think he's just gone, oh, well, money's money.
And I think that's the thing that, like you said earlier about football, there's so much money in it. I think that is the key to it. Because there's so much money in it, there's a lot of things that I guess are like blurred that in normal life are maybe just, I mean, challenge, because it's like, well, there's so much money. Well, that money can, money's power, isn't it, at the end of the day.
So do you feel like your journey in the public eye, and it's been like a whirlwind, hasn't it, really? But do you think it's helped you process things personally as well? Has this really helped you get that in order or not? You're still just the same person?
Interesting question. I feel like the show helped me grow a lot as a person. Like, just hearing... grow a lot as a gay person, let's say, because, like, I heard a lot of stories that I never... like, Adam's story of HIV, I learned a lot from that. Lars being trans, I learned a lot from that. Even just like people of colour, like I learned a lot in that situation. I learned a lot about things like straight passage, which I didn't even know that I had. Do you know what I mean? And apparently that's like
straight. Yeah.
Yeah. So like I could, it was like a really open and honest conversation where Aaron basically was like, oh, I wouldn't go into a straight space because why would I do that? Because I don't feel comfortable and I don't feel safe as a person of colour who's gay and a bit more like feminine. And I was literally sat there like, I was like, what? You actually think like you, those are actually your thoughts? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, oh my God, that's really sad because I wouldn't think like that. Like, I would happily go with the girls to a straight place. And I was like, there's been multiple times where lads have come over to flirt with my friends and been like, oh, are you with her? And I'm like, no. Like,
yeah.
I'm gay.
You're a masculine aesthetic.
That's what I mean. But like, you wouldn't even, like, I, I think for me, why it was so shocking is because Aaron has a very similar aesthetic to me. Like, he has a shaped head and he's got loads of muscles. And do you know what I mean? Like, and I was just a bit like, it's wild that you think like that and I don't think like that. And it's because of this, like, straight passage that you're like, I can just get away with it and just, like, go fly under the radar, I guess. And I, whereas Aaron feels like he's had homophobic swears thrown at him. He's had this, that, and the other. Like, one of his friends has been physically hurt. Do you know what I mean? So then, you would, if that had happened to you, you would think like that. But I realised the whole concept and, like, mind-blowing to me. So I think that's where I sort of grew. Like, as learning more as a queer person then helped me grow as a queer person, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does. It does. Right, I've got, just before we wrap up, I've got some quick-fire questions for you.
Oh, God.
Favourite workout move?
Favourite workout move?
Yeah.
Probably a lateral raise.
Tell me which one the lateral raise is.
Where you've got the weights there, I can't really see, and then you go like that. So
you go, that's shoulders.
Yeah. No, not straight all the way up. So it's like in front of you, but to the side, like that.
That one, yeah.
But not like that, not up, like to like there.
Not like that, okay. Because what I do, I think it's a lateral raise that makes my mouth go like that. When I do it. I lose all control of my mouth.
I just had to get it up.
One thing you always have after training.
Squares bar.
Is it?
Yeah. Or sometimes a monster if I'm really flagging. Like if I've been at work and then I go to the gym.
Yeah.
Yeah, or a white monsters of my go-to.
Oh, God, I hate that stuff.
Really? I love a white monster gets through life.
No, I live on coffee. I refuse to go down the monster route, honestly.
I have coffee as well.
God.
Caffeine is my thing. I will have a coffee in the morning and then probably a white monster on my lunch and sometimes a coffee as well. Gotta get through the day.
Yeah, you have.
Yeah,
my God. Most used emoji?
Probably the eyes.
That one?
Yeah, I like that. Yeah,
I love the eyes.
Yeah, I feel like it covers a lot of bases.
It does. it could mean anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Secret talent?
Oh, I hate this. I don't have a... I can down a pint in like 3 seconds.
That's that a secret talent?
That is really good. Yeah.
Well, no, but that can't be good afterwards. If I downed a pint in...
No, I can, I'm fine. I'm solid. I could carry on. Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
oh, that'd be a mess.
We had a talent show on the show and they were literally like, watch your talent. I was like, I am talentless other than downing a pint. And they were like, well, you can't down a pint on the BBC. And I was like, well.
We should have got one next to you there, but I can on a podcast. Where can people follow you and support what you're doing?
So just Jordan Burrow on Instagram, or if you're interested in the PT stuff, I've got Jordan Burrow PT, which at the minute is a little bit dilute, but it will be good.
I get it. Everything has to start somewhere. It's not to be ashamed of. Jordan, it's been great catching up. Lots of fun. Hope you can come back on the show again at some point. The very lovely Jordan Burrows.
Thank you for having me, and I'll be back whenever you want me.
Stay with me. This is incredibly simple. If you've ever used Grindr, Googled something rather personal, or posted anything political, your data is already being tracked and sold. Think about that. A VPN can make you a lot safer. NordVPN takes about 2 minutes to set up, one click to turn on, and it just runs in the background. There's no effort after that. It's consistently voted number one across a load of metrics for consumers. It's fast, it's secure, and there's no drop-offs. Outcast World listeners can get up to 75% off NordVPN right now, which brings it down to under £3 a month. Go to outcastworld.net, top of the page, tap the link, then you're done. Outcastworld.net for up to 75% off NordVPN.